Exodus chapter 6 and verse 9. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Moses reported this. What was it that Moses reported? What God had revealed to him, what God had said to him, and what had God said to him? In the previous verses, as we have seen, God told Moses that he was the God of covenant, and he had given him immense assurances, all founding based on the glorious I am and the glorious I wills of God. I am the Lord. I have seen. I will do. I will do the other. I will keep my promise. I gave my word to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the Lord. I am God Almighty. I am the unchanging God. I am the all-sufficient God. I am the all-loving God to my people. I am the all-powerful God. I am the God of covenant. I am the God who brings assurance to my people through the covenant. This is the great next epoch, Moses. This is what God is saying to Moses. And Moses reports this to the Israelites. Brothers, he's saying, we can be assured. The sovereign God is our God. The Lord God will appear for us. He is working his purpose out. Be not cast down. Don't despair. Be assured. Rest in this. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him. What a but. These short words in the Bible are so important. But and so and also, since. But they did not listen. They refused to listen. They would not allow themselves. They would not accept this revelation of assurance and comfort. They would not believe the promise. They would not take the assurances. They refused to be comforted. Why? They did not listen to Moses because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. And of course, their bondage was real, and it was cruel, and their discouragements were very discouraging indeed. Their circumstances were very difficult, and things had got worse. There's no balking this, there's no pretending. They were in bondage, and they were in misery. But these afflictions, this bondage and this misery, these circumstances, had so filled their vision, their thinking, their hearts, their vision. They could not see, or they would not allow themselves. They would not listen. Rachel refusing to be comforted, Jeremiah 31, verse 15. That's what's going on here. They will not allow themselves to believe these promises. They will not trust. They will not even listen to it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and they've been afflicted once too many times, and they felt their pain, and they could see the reality and the closeness of the Egyptians and the power of the Egyptians, and therefore God and his word were blinded from their view. They were deaf to his word, and they were blind to his promise. They saw the circumstances. They felt the pain. Now I'm talking about the Israelites. But my believing friends, this is me. And I believe it's you too. We can so look at our circumstances. We can so look at our pain and feel that God is too distant. His word, we will not allow ourselves to believe it. Do you confess that, brother, sister? Do you feel that? Have you ever felt like it? Are you feeling it now? That you've got so low, circumstances have got so high, issues have become so much with you, so real. The world and the afflictions, the illness, the disappointments, the losses, the upsets, the sins, the failures, whatever, that these things so cloud your vision, they blind you. They so fill your ears that you can't hear God speaking. You won't hear. There's none so blind, there's none so deaf as those who are blinded here and deaf here to God, to his assurance, to his glorious purpose. These are the things that challenge me. Satan was getting an advantage over them. Satan was gaining over them. The other day I read a hymn to you, I repeated a hymn to you, "The Lord is King." And this is what the second verse said. "The Lord is King, who then shall dare resist his will, distrust his care, or murmur at his wise decrees, or doubt his royal promises? Who will dare?" We sing that. We sing it heartily. I do. Do you want the answer to the question? I can doubt his royal promises. I can murmur at his wise decrees. I can resist his will. I can distrust his care. Do you feel the same, brother and sister? Let us rebuke ourselves. Let us learn from Israel. But they're a big target. They'll do this over and over again. Maybe learn right from the early days of this history not to do it. The word of God is given for our profit. 1 Corinthians 10, these things are written for our example. Here is Israel failing to be assured, failing to be comforted, failing to be joyous. Why? Because they look at their circumstances and not at God and his word. Oh, my brother, don't do it. Oh, my sister, don't do it. I say it to myself. Let us trust God despite our circumstances, through the darkest days, through the darkest night, through the bitterest experience. You get this "would nots" again in Isaiah 28, verse 12. Look at Luke 24. The disciples on the Emmaus Road, their eyes were so blinded by their circumstances and their disappointments at the death of Christ that they could not see the Lord Jesus. They did not recognize him. I'm not saying this is the only way of not seeing the promises and assurance of God. We can be so full of worldly joy and so full of carnality that we can forget that God that way. But this is the lesson in this passage. Lift up your heart, brother. Lift up your heart, sister. Whatever the difficulties today, the bereavements, the losses, the sufferings, our God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. He remembers his own. And whatever the circumstances, believe God and his promise. Be assured by his word, his presence, and his power. The circumstances may be bad, but walk by faith and not by sight. Unbeliever, this is a word for you too. You think more of your material circumstances now than you do of the spiritual and the eternal. Open your eyes, my friend, and look beyond your circumstances. See eternity gaping before you. You have to do with the eternal God, and his word stands. But the truth is, sinners will not come to Christ. How many times he says it in the Gospels, "You would not come unto me. How often I would have gathered you, but you will not come. You would not come. See that you refuse not him who speaks." Learn from the Israelites. God is offering them tremendous comfort, assurance, and hope, but they refuse to believe it and receive it. You are being offered Christ, an everlasting salvation, forgiveness of sins, peace with God, everlasting joy, everlasting life. And what are you doing? Running after the tawdry, gaudy toys of this age, looking at circumstances, rather having the bird in the hand, you might say, rather two in the bush. That's what you would say. But the reality, my friend, is eternity. The things that you see are temporary. Learn from the Israelites and do not refuse God and his offers of mercy, and believe his warnings. Heed him and turn to him now and cry out for mercy, and he will receive you. But the main lesson here is for me as a believer. I must not doubt God. I must not look at my circumstances. The word of God is for reproof and rebuke, correction, instruction, training. I need to be reproved, rebuked by this passage. And I believe, my brother and sister, so do you. So, Moses reported this to the Israelites, all this assurance, but they did not listen. They rather believed their bondage and their sufferings. Do not be the same, my friend. Let me close with a more joyous note on the same theme. This is what Joseph Irons wrote about God's shalls and wills. And that's what this passage is all about. The assurance comes because of God's shalls and wills. Amidst the wealth of Bible stores and gems the eye of faith explores, none with such joy and comfort fill as Jesus' covenant shall and will. Delightful words, the King's decrees, which rule all heaven and earth and seas. All things in time, till time shall end, upon his shalls and wills depend. Why are not feeble saints destroyed? Why are not promises made void, and sin my utter ruin proved? His shalls and wills remain unmoved. The weak become both strong and bold, while on these words faith keeps her hold. Mountains must melt and waves be still, obeying Jesus shall and will. These potent words subdued my heart, and made the love of sin depart. Christ said, my purpose I'll fulfill. You shall submit, and reign I will. These words a sovereign power conveyed, confirmed each promise he had made. My ifs and buts I laid aside, and now in shalls and wills confide. Wouldn't it be wonderful to read a text that Moses reported this to the Israelites, all the assurances of God, and they listened to him, and they rejoiced. Wouldn't it be wonderful, my brother and sister, if we could? Wouldn't it be wonderful, unbeliever, if hearing of the offer of Christ, your heart was opened to him, and you received him as your Lord and Savior? May it be so. Amen.